This is the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy. Independent news commentary with a California perspective, featuring newsmakers, thought leaders, and authors. Season 15, Episode 4, Patriot Front Plot to Disrupt Gay Pride March is Foiled. Talking with Quinn Welsh, reporter for the Spokane Spokesman Review. With us today is Quinn Welsh, reporter with the Spokesman Review. He's been covering the story about the white supremacist group in Idaho, the Patriot Front, that planned to riot at the Gay Pride March in Coeur d'Alene on Saturday, June 11th. Quinn joins us from his office in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Quinn, and thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Very good. So, Quinn, let's start with the Patriot Front. Who is the Patriot Front, and what is the Patriot Front?
What I can tell you has been documented by groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, as well as reporting from other watchdog right-wing groups, people who follow these groups and report on them. But they are a white nationalist group that is spread throughout the country. They are supposedly to known to have come from the 2017 Unite the Right march, which killed one person in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Patriot Front is a white nationalist group that is spread throughout the country. They branched off of a different white nationalist group that was in the Unite the Right march in 2017. They've been an active group throughout the country. Their main focus is spreading flyers and stickers and racist, patriotic-themed propaganda. They also do a little bit of light vandalism of murals in cities that might promote Black history or other minority groups, but they're primarily engaged in intimidation of minority groups in the United States, and they do that through their propaganda.
I see. And what was the event that they had targeted in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho?
The event that they targeted was called Pride in the Park. Pride in the Park has been going on for several years in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And I think there's still some details that are coming out, but Patriot Front, essentially, there was another group called Panhandle Patriots who in May had been a member of that group had been invited by State Representative Heather Scott to talk at a conference of some sort, and he had basically put out a call for action for people to come to Idaho and to go head to head with Pride in the Park. This group, Panhandle Patriots, I spoke with their leader. He went by the name Viper. Now, he told me that they were not opposed to Pride in the Park, but that he was opposed to, I guess, sexualization, what he thought of as sexualization of children. And they backed away from this guy, one of their club members who had called for this confrontation, you know, in Pride in the Park. And just to be clear, this Pride in the Park was on June 11th. It was Saturday, June 11th. Coeur d'Alene police, up to that point, they released a statement saying that I think it was the week before, a few days before the event happened. They released a statement saying that they didn't anticipate there to be any trouble. The weather was looking bad for that day. You know, I think people expected that these two groups were going to be present at the Pride in the Park event. Mm-hmm. Panhandle Patriots, they had scheduled a separate event to concur on a different park or at a different park in Coeur d'Alene. Pride in the Park was going to go from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I think everyone just thought that things were going to go off without a hitch. It was going to be fine. And then on Saturday, I was with my colleague Garrett Cabeza, and he was actually on the ground that day in Coeur d'Alene when Patriot Front arrived to disrupt Pride in the Park. And it's unclear if Patriot Front was working in collusion with the Panhandle Patriots or the connection may be, but it is clear that Panhandle Patriots called for a confrontation, or a member of their group called for a confrontation, and then Patriot Front showed up. So as Garrett is on the ground, I see this video. There are people sharing videos, reporters and journalists who follow right-wing groups who were in Coeur d'Alene, who were present when Patriot Front was arrested. And so I saw this video happening about 10 minutes after the police discovered this group. And I told Garrett, hey, get down here. And then we've just been kind of following the story ever since. So
now tell me, how were they discovered? How were the Patriot Front fellows discovered? Because from what I've seen in your coverage, there were 31 of them that they had all gotten into a truck. I guess they were dressed similarly with khaki pants and blue shirts and masks and what have you. But they had all gotten into a truck, and the 31 of them were going to be driven by truck to the park. And I guess at the park, that's when they would have confronted the LGBTQ marchers and the supporters of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, that is correct. And so Patriot Front, they dress like, I guess, maybe a militant group. They all wear the same type of clothing. They all wear, you know, blue shirts, khaki pants, khaki or tan colored baseball hats. They typically have like a face covering and sunglasses. So they all look very similar. And, you know, they train as a group. They've done this sort of thing too in the past, where they will rent a U-Haul truck, and all 31 of these guys in Coeur d'Alene piled into the back of this U-Haul truck. They had riot gear with them. Police reported that they had a smoke grenade with them. They had radios and, you know, medical equipment on them in case someone got hurt. They were prepared to do violence, basically. I mean, they claim that they were there to exercise their First Amendment rights, mm-hmm. right? 31 of them were in this U-Haul truck. They were at a nearby hotel. Basically, according to police, a concerned citizen saw them piling into the truck and notified law enforcement that, I just saw what looks like, you know, a quote unquote little army piling into this truck. This was, I think, 1:38 was the timestamp that I got.
1:38 Saturday.
1:38, yeah, was when this phone call came through, and police essentially responded. I think it was before 2 p.m. that they located the truck. It was about a quarter mile away from where the Pride in the Park event was happening. And they pulled the truck over and spoke with the driver. And from the videos that I've seen of them opening up the back of the truck, everyone was compliant.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me, these 31 individuals, they were all men, I guess.
Yes.
And
they're all men, primarily under the age of 30.
And where were they from?
So the interesting thing about this group is that none of them are actually from Coeur d'Alene. There's a few from Spokane, Washington, where our newspaper is based.
Right.
But the rest are from Texas, Utah. I think there's one from Colorado, one from Alabama. I mean, they are from all over the country. Patriot Front is, from my understanding of the SPLC's website, they are one of the several hate groups that are recognized in North Idaho, but they don't have in Idaho as a whole, but they don't have a specific base of operations, I guess, is a way to put it. They kind of operate throughout the state as a whole.
I see. So they don't have a specific compound in the state of Idaho.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So once they were, so before they even got to Pride in the Park, before they got to the park where they would have confronted the LGBTQ parade members and marchers, they were apprehended by the police. What happened then?
You know, you can go online and watch some of the videos of what happened. It's a little funny to watch, I think, because, I mean, there are, you know, Washington State Patrol, Kootenai County Sheriff's deputies, Coeur d'Alene police officers. There's a lot of law enforcement who were engaged with this vehicle. And when they opened up the back of that truck, I mean, I say that these people were compliant. I mean, all of their hands were immediately raised. I think they knew that they'd been found. I don't think that they wanted to confront anyone at that point. They were all led out to a small little grassy field on the side of the road. They were all zip tied. Police took their masks off. They photographed every single one of their faces. They went through their bags that they had on them. They went through the back of the truck. They, you know, went through all their gear. Shortly after that, they loaded them up, and then pretty quick, they were gone. The site was clear. I think Pride in the Park went on as scheduled until 3 p.m. that afternoon.
Let's talk about the LGBTQ community in Idaho generally, and specifically in Coeur d'Alene. How large a community is it? How prominent is it? And what has been their reaction to this, to these events?
You know, that is a really great question. And I have not personally been able to reach any of the organizers of the Pride in the Park. The North Idaho Pride Alliance is the group. They're very nice people. I spoke with them before the event, just to kind of get a preview of the event. I think that maybe, I don't know, but maybe this has shaken them up a bit. I can't tell you how big the LGBTQ community in North Idaho or in Coeur d'Alene is either. There are a lot of people in North Idaho who are actively fighting against these types of things, these types of incidents that happen. There's a history of this sort of thing happening in North Idaho, and I think that there are a lot of people who are sick of it. They're disgusted by it. I think that they are actively trying to fight against this sort of stuff.
So there have been incidents of anti-LGBTQ hate and protests and that sort of thing in Northern Idaho?
Well, I mean, even at the Pride in the Park event, there were people who were protesting it who were certainly anti-LGBTQ, and there were, you know, they were not affiliated with Patriot Front. They were not dressed in their uniforms. They were not wearing masks of any sort. And I mean, there is a lot of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric that has been circulating since the Panhandle Patriots put out that video in May. So certainly there is some pushback.
So there is some pushback. So that was a pre-existing, that's a pre-existing situation, I guess, in Northern Idaho. How did Patriot Front sent out a call to arms, if you will, around the country? Because you said that most of the participants, with the few who were from Spokane and one or two from Idaho, most of the rest of them were from Texas and Alabama. So they sent out a call, and these guys flew or drove all the way up to Idaho to come to this event?
I don't know the details of how they arrived in North Idaho. Yes, I assume that some of them flew, some of them, you know, just took a short drive from Spokane. One of the, in the court documents that I was going through recently, you know, they were all pretty silent. I think when they were busted, I think they kind of knew they'd been had. One of them told police, according to court documents, that they go where they're needed. I assume what he meant is that, you know, if there's something that they're ideologically opposed to, that they whatever branch of, you know, wherever they're based out of, they will, you know, respond. There have been other demonstrations that were similar to this. I think there was one in Pennsylvania. They're not always successful for them. Their main goal, I think, is, you know, recruitment and propaganda. I think that they use these sorts of events like Pride in the Park as a way of getting video and a way of, you know, promoting themselves on social media with their members in these kind of confrontations. And fortunately, that didn't happen in this case. I'm not sure how they organized themselves to get get down to North Idaho, though.
So they were arrested. They were booked. They were bailed out. What were the booking charges? What were they charged with?
So they were all 31 of them charged. Well, they were arrested on suspicion of conspiracy to commit a riot, and it is a misdemeanor. So they were released. So their bond was set at $300, which some people have argued was way too low. But I've been told by other people that's not, you know, something that was necessarily up for argument at the time, but they all bonded out. I think it was by Sunday they were all out of jail.
Uh-huh. And has a trial date been set for them?
So they are scheduled. They're scheduled for an arraignment. I think they all have to make an appearance by the end of August. Some of them, last time I looked, had court dates set for mid-July. Others not until August 29th.
Mm-hmm. Let's just come back to the LGBTQ community in Coeur d'Alene. Of course, in many cities throughout the United States, city councils tend to be at the forefront of acknowledging gay rights and LGBTQ rights and that sort of thing. What is the political atmosphere in Coeur d'Alene with regard to the LGBTQ community? Is it one of support? Is it neutral? Is it one of less than support? any, could you give us a flavor of the political environment in which the LGBTQ community in Coeur d'Alene exist?
Sure. And I don't know enough of the history, to be honest with you, about the history of the city of Coeur d'Alene or the city council. On Monday, the Monday after Patriot Front was arrested, the mayor of Coeur d'Alene, and as well as the police chief, they both held a press conference. And the mayor said he wanted to make assurances to people that Coeur d'Alene is still a welcoming city. I don't think that, you know, they want this to be their legacy of right-wing extremism. I think that they want to be open and they want to be a place where people feel safe. And I think that includes the LGBTQ community in North Idaho. You do have these events that happen and these sorts of incidents. And it doesn't always look good for them.
Of course not. And now, Coeur d'Alene is how far from Boise? Boise, of course, is the largest city in Idaho and the capital. How far is Coeur d'Alene from Boise?
That's a bit of a drive. I think I could be wrong. You might not want to include this. I think it could be a 6-hour drive. I think it's maybe six to from Spokane to Boise.
I see. So it's quite a way, quite a distance.
Oh yeah. North Idaho is really, it's kind of its own little, sort of its own area, really.
Does Coeur d'Alene tend to gravitate more towards Spokane for shopping or services or cultural events, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I think that a lot of people tend to come to Spokane for, you know, large like music events. You know, there's the Spokane Arena where we, you know, recently had Paul McCartney played there. You know, Bob Dylan, he was at the Fox, I think it was, a local theater. People tend to come to Spokane quite a bit from Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had talked earlier before we came on the air about Gonzaga University, which of course is located there in Spokane. And Gonzaga University has a dedicated Institute for Hate Studies. And
yes.
We've been in contact with the executive director there. We've had her here on the show a couple of times. Have they made any pronouncements on this event, or have they not gotten involved at this point?
I don't know about them specifically, but I know that there have been a lot of people who have. The Western States Coalition came out with something recently. Today was my day off, so I may have missed something in the news, but I know that the Idaho governor, Brad Little, came out with a statement. I think a lot of people saw what happened on Saturday as pretty severe and are condemning it pretty wholeheartedly. And, you know, I will add this too. I've spoken with some organizers, some progressive organizers in the area, some in Boise, some in, you know, North Idaho. I think the thought is, or the feeling is, that they hope that what happened on Saturday changes some people's minds, that they see the arrests of these people dressed in a uniform coming to disrupt a peaceful event. And they hope that that changes the minds of some fence sitters who maybe are okay with a little extremism from time to time. That's what I have heard from people, that this is maybe there may be a silver lining to this. Maybe that people realize that there is a real threat.
You mentioned Governor Little. Of course, he's the governor of Idaho, noted to be a conservative. I think he's coming up for re-election this coming November. Specifically, what were his comments about this event?
I don't know his comments off the top of my head, to tell you the truth.
But it sounds as though this event has gotten the attention of politicians and society in general in the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
Well, as we draw to a close here in the podcast, do you have any closing thoughts for us today, Quinn? Again, this is a story which got a lot of attention in the national media here in the United States, and I know it was followed also abroad. I noted that the Guardian newspaper out of London had also run a report on it. Do you have any closing thoughts for us and for our listeners as regards this event? Because it's something that, here in San Francisco, of course, the big gay pride, the Pride Parade, is going to be on this Sunday. And any closing thoughts for those people who will be celebrating Pride on Sunday and Pride Month in generally?
Yeah, I think that some of the comments that I have seen from a lot of people who, for whatever reason, seem to think that this event was a hoax, or that the people who were arrested were all federal agents, I am interested in this topic for a lot of reasons, but I think one of the reasons is because as a journalist, I take the threat of disinformation very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find this event in particular has a lot of disinformation kind of circulating around it. The Idaho Freedom Foundation, for one, seem to suggest that this was, there was a conspiracy afoot regarding the Patriot Front. And
excuse me, a conspiracy to implicate the Patriot Front?
A conspiracy. I guess it's a little confused. But I think that their thought is that this is, some kind of incident to
discredit, Idaho,
North Idaho, Idaho in general as a haven for right-wing extremism, potentially to crack down on these sorts of things and these sorts of groups. I guess I can't speak too much to that, but what I can say is that these were 31 people who have hometowns, who have, phone numbers, who have information that is publicly available now that they've all been arrested, that this group is, this was a real group. They were not created by the FBI or something to discredit North Idaho, and that they were arrested. They were arrested by law enforcement in North Idaho. I guess there is also a lot of questions around how well police handle right-wing groups. And I would say that, in this instance in Coeur d'Alene, I think that the law enforcement in this situation and in this incident handled the situation very well. All of the people were arrested. I mean, they may have been released on, a relatively low amount of money. But I do just want to say this event was real and this actually happened. And, it was fortunate that they didn't make it to the event to cause chaos. But there have been some people who've been claiming that it is just disinformation or that it's, a conspiracy of some sort. And I really just wish that people would do a little bit of their homework and not come to their own conclusions without following through on that.
Quinn, coming back to the arraignment that's going to be in August and then the trial, and you'll continue to follow this story?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we will definitely call on your good offices as we go forward. And again, it's a story that that made national headlines. And I think the certainly people here in California, especially in San Francisco, but throughout the United States and even abroad, will want to see how the 31 accused, how they're dealt with in the judicial system. So once again, Quinn, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you back again real soon.
Sounds good.
And for my listeners, thank you for your ongoing support as we celebrate our second anniversary. With 289 episodes, the San Francisco Experience is carried on 19 platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, and Amazon Music, among others, with listeners in more than 50 countries and all 50 states. This has been the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy, coming to you from America's favorite city, San Francisco.